And welcome to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. We got a great show for you tonight. We're about to get real legal this evening, real legal. First and foremost, folks, what's the day? Happy Tuesday. Happy Taco Tuesday. Let's talk about that. A couple other things. We had a great conversation yesterday about Tyler Perry Studios. And if you haven't had the chance, Ava DuVernay, the famed director, producer, she is the one behind When They See Us, that great Netflix film. She put out a story on her Instagram because, of course, she went down to the opening of Tyler Perry Studios, and she put out this these videos as they were, like, taking a trolley tour of the studio lot. Man, absolutely amazing. When you get to see it from that vantage point, that perspective, folks, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So she put that out there. But then I did not know, it was not a part of the reports when we were first talking about it, but it, once I saw it on Ava DuVernay's, once I saw it when she was on her video, Tyler Perry decided to name each of the sound stages, he has 12 of them, each of the sound stages behind some actor or entertainer, a black actor or actress that has transcended the culture, that has taken the culture, the arts and entertainment and culture to the next level. So, for example, he might have the Della Reese soundstage. This is real. He named the each soundstage. He had the Oprah Winfrey soundstage, obviously. He had the Denzel Washington soundstage. He had the Halle Berry soundstage. Dre Day, can we give Tyler Perry a warm round of applause? He decided to show some love to those who have been in the game.
Nothing in this world.
That's right.
I like more than boats, 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 boats.
I don't know. I didn't see the Cardi B soundstage. Definitely didn't. He definitely did it for the culture. But he named it after a famous black actor or actress, someone that has pushed the needle on arts and culture in history, in film history. I thought that was absolutely, I mean, as one who has studied acting and have looked up to certain individuals, I thought that was amazing. That was amazing. To me, that was like the evolution, because we never want to forget, yes, you can get your name on a Hollywood Walk of Fame, right? You can do that. But then to be honored by someone, one of your peers, or to be honored by someone who is considered, quote unquote, your contemporary, is something totally different, right? And most importantly, you honoring them while they're still living. So I thought that was phenomenal. But the other thing that Ava posted, which was really, really cool, she put out a little fun fact. She said, in her tweet, the studio lots of Disney, Warner Brothers, Paramount, Fox, and Sony. Let me just say that again. the studio lots of Disney, Warner Brothers, Paramount, Fox, and Sony, five, could fit inside Tyler Perry's studio lot at the same time, and there would still be 60 acres to spare, all on a former Confederate Army base, a stunning achievement that will echo through the generations. Now, that's dope. That's major. You got five major studios, and she's saying that Tyler Perry's studio is so big, it can all fit with 60 acres to spare, and this is all on a Confederate Army base. So when we talk about, I think there were a couple of callers that mentioned, well, it was Army land, Confederate Army land. Confederate Army land. There we go. Man, oh, man. So that was really major. Absolutely big. So big shout out to Ava. Again, big shout out to Tyler Perry. Congratulations. I'm expecting some big things to come from the studios. But I thought that was a great, great little tidbit, fun fact for us to consider to put this whole thing into perspective about how major this moment really is, how historic this really is, and how much of an impact that this will and weight that this thing will carry for generations to come. So something to consider. But yeah, big shout out to the fact that everybody got like a soundstage. That's dope. That is absolutely great. What else has happened? Okay, folks, we got a great conversation with you for you set tonight. This is interesting because this is a conversation that we've had in the past. Now, hear me out. We've had this conversation in the past, but now as we look deeper into it, I've hardly heard any political leader speak about this. And what I'm speaking of, I'm going to share with you what the situation is, and then I'm going to get right to the meat of it. But essentially, folks, when we talk about change, we really need to look at policy in a lot of ways, right? And I'm talking about changing. If we're talking about changing some historic and systemic issues, sometimes we have to look at, does the policy allow for these issues to continue to be pervasive? Does the policy really justify for things to happen with no consequence? And that's what I'm going to, that's one of the big things I want us to discuss tonight, because there was a ruling that came out from a Baltimore judge, according to the Sun, that the city must indemnify, essentially pay for, three former Gun Trace Task Force officers by paying a $32,000 judgment to a man who said that the GTTF planted a gun on him. Now, my question as we look at this situation is this fair? This came out of the circuit court from Judge Jeannie Hung, who determined that the city was liable for the cost because the officers were, quote, acting within the scope of their employment when they pulled over Mr. William James in a 2016 traffic stop and, quote, acting at least in part by a motivation to fulfill the GTTF mission to find dangerous individuals with weapons. Now, here's where it gets all fuzzy and gray. So now Judge Hung said that the city needs to pay this $32,000 judgment because these police officers, as rogue, as dirty as they could be, that the city is responsible for it because they were police officers when they were rogue and dirty. Now, here's the other side of it. The other side of it, it comes from city solicitor, who is the lawyer for Baltimore City, Mr. Andre Davis, who said he is going to appeal this decision because the court rejected the city's argument, which rested on the idea that the rogue officers were so brazen in their crimes that their actions should be considered beyond the scope of their employment. Now, he's talking about Sergeant Wayne Jenkins and Detective Jamel Ram, both who pleaded guilty in federal court to committing crimes as part of GTTF. But the argument simply states that that they didn't act within the scope of their employment. They were doing way more, way illegally more, I'm going to put it that way, than they were supposed to be doing as police officers. Now, Mr. Davis said that Judge Hung improperly went beyond the facts in the case. And, of course, he's going to appeal the decision to the Court of Special Appeals. Now, we got to just throw this in there. Because of what happened with the Gun Trace Task Force, Baltimore State's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, says that she's going to have to review and possibly throw out nearly 800 cases, about 790 cases may be vacated because they could be tainted. They just simply could be tainted. That GTTF had so many cases and there were so many officers involved, it's like they all could be dirty. But I want to go to this point about what this judgment that Judge Hung made, saying that the city should pay this $32,000 judgment. Now, Mr. Andre Davis is saying, look, at the end of the day, if this payment goes through, if this has to happen, this is going to open up Pandora's box, folks, in terms of paying out all of the people who say that they were wrongly arrested or they have been having issues with GTTF. That means that bill from Baltimore City Police Department's officers who committed misconduct will go sky high. Now, I'm asking the big question, is that fair? Now, here's another thing. This is where the part I said, folks, that sometimes the policy needs to get to the root of it, gets to the root of a problem, because the policy will justify certain behaviors and certain actions. According to the Maryland law and the city's labor agreement with the police union, the city is required to pay or cover the legal fees and any judgment for actions within their employment scope, but not for actions that go beyond it. And this is where Judge Hung's decision is based on. This is based on this. That whole idea that, hey, this is part of Maryland law. This is part of the agreement between the city and the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge Number 3. Now, there was also reported by the Baltimore Brew back in September that under this agreement, that all of these court costs, attorney fees, and judgments against officers sued in the line of duty should be paid by the city. What? How come that is? How come we haven't had a real conversation, folks, about this? If the state, not the state, but if the city police department has a $500 million-plus dollar budget, you mean to tell me that the city has to pay for this? And this is where it gets fuzzy, because my team and I, we were trying to do the research and say, okay, it doesn't explicitly say that within the labor agreement. There's a lot of gray area. But in this case, the city could be represented by the police department and can be seen as a pseudo city agency. Also, you know, there's been a larger conversation about the situation of gag orders and settlements that the mayor and the city council and folks have been talking about, because traditionally the gag orders were basically like if the city pays you your judgment, say if you were violated by the police and the city pays you, then you couldn't go out and talk about your circumstances, what happened. You couldn't talk about it. You can't go on social media. You can't go into any news outlet or anything. You can't talk about it. You have to be quiet. That's the gag order. And many people have been fighting that to say, well, that's a real issue because it violates civil rights. It also talks, how are we going to address the problem if we don't talk about the problem. That's what some folks are saying. Now, the other folks are saying that there should be a special fund that should be created. Lawyers around the cities are saying, lawyers around Baltimore City is saying that maybe out of this $500+ million budget, there should be a special fund aside for instances like this. You know, when you have, we have major payouts, that way it doesn't necessarily impact the budget of the city. Because, folks, do you know how much money potentially that could be? There was one police misconduct case back in 2017 where a federal judge awarded $15 million to a Baltimore man who spent 20 years behind bars for a murder he did not commit due to the sloppy and prejudicial work of two Baltimore City police departments. That's one case, $15 million. Well, let's not talk about Freddie Gray, which was $6 million. Folks, the bill on misconduct in this city could just be astronomical. So let's have a conversation about this. Do you think this fair that the city has to flip the bill for bad police? 410-319-8888. I want us to talk about this this agreement, this law that is between the city and the FOP, which is absolutely disturbing, to say the least. The city shouldn't have to put up for that. As us as taxpayers, we should not be paying for that. We shouldn't have to pay for this. So maybe I'm wrong, though. You tell me. 410-319-8888, and let me know your thoughts about this. Let's go to Alexis in Northeast Baltimore. Alexis, what's your take on this? And thank you for checking it.
If the city doesn't want to pay for it, then go after the dirty cop. Let them pay. We are tired of paying for their bad behavior. Why can't they pay?
Why can't they pay? I don't know. Right now, it's not a part of the law.
They should pay. They should change the law. Because they target people. They target me. They target you. They're sabotaging through the system. They should pay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alexis. Appreciate it. Leo, Bolton Hill, talk to me, sir. What's your take?
Brother Faraji Muhammad, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, why not the city pay? I mean, we talk about fairness. There has been a pattern and practice of unfairness, police brutality, constitutional violations of law for the last 50 years. In Baltimore City and most municipalities, we've got a task force, an entire task force, an elite task force of the Baltimore City Police Department engaged in organized crime, which resulted in brutality, murder, money laundering, you name it, they're in it. So we've got a consent decree, do we not? We're not under a consent decree for no reason. We're under consent decree because the United States government adjudged, made the decision that this Baltimore City Police Department has systemically violated unlawful searches and seizures, violated the rights of citizens, and something should be done about it. As for Andre Davis, the city solicitor, why hasn't he and others done something with regard to ensuring that citizens are protected? For example, false imprisonment. We had men who've been exonerated in the last year from the prisons here in our state, Baltimore, black men.
Mm-hmm.
25, 30 years they spent in prison, false arrest. Marilyn Mosby apologized. Other people apologized. But they haven't been awarded any money by the state. They haven't been paid. That hasn't been fair. You got big businesses in this state who owe the city millions of dollars for unpaid water bills,
yeah,
and they haven't paid. So my thing is, the police, in fact, acted within the scope of their authority, only they were acting illegally, but they acted within
the scope. But Leo, that's the problem. If they acted illegally, but the scope of their authority is based on being legal, aren't they acting We're outside of their scope of authority?
No, not really, because the city was aware of the pattern and practice of illegality on the part of of the police department. Systemic institutional racism prevails and has flourished in this city.
Yeah.
The mayor, who's been in office 23 years, Brandon Scott, who's been there 9 years, he's head of the public, or was head of the public safety committee of Baltimore City. These guys knew about the pattern and practice. Eric Costello, been in office not as long. He's my city councilman, but he's a big wig at city council. They knew about the patterns and practices of the city police in violating the rights of black and poor people, but they went along with it and allowed this problem to fester and to get worse. And therefore, how do we gain justice if we don't do it through the court system? In other words,
how about Leo?
Flog the police officers? Should we tie them up, whip them, or something?
No. And I hear you, and I appreciate you, Leo, for checking in. Always good to talk to you. How about we gain justice first in saving our money? How about we gain justice through our pockets? Because I'm feeling unjust right now. If I, as a taxpayer, if I have to pay for, look, it's one thing you got to pay for somebody for doing their job, but then it's another thing you got to pay for somebody for abusing their power and authority and quote unquote doing their job. That's, but you expect us to ride along? Okay. I mean, how do you explain that? How do you explain that, folks? How does that does that make sense? And again, I wanna kind of get some real. This is the election year we're about to go into, right? We should have some real conversations with all of the officials that are running for office, whether it's mayoral candidates, city council's candidate, and say, wait a minute, can I ask you a question? Why hasn't anyone challenged this law, this idea that Baltimore City taxpayers have to pay for the misconduct and rogue officers within the Baltimore City Police Department? Why? We haven't had a conversation. We talk about brutality. We talk about the consent decree. We can talk about the nature of the crime. But the law justifies us to continue to bear the full brunt of this type of oppression through the law and through our pockets. It does not make sense to me, folks. It just doesn't make sense to me. So I agree with Mr. Davidson saying, like, why should we have to pay? Now, the next question is, where would the money come from? Somebody's got to pay, right? That's what happens. Somebody has to pay. And I remember us having a discussion about this some time ago about whether the union pay or the city pay. And many of you said the union should pay. But I think it's quite interesting that the union, who is, seems to be one of the bigger oppositional forces here in the Baltimore City when it comes to law enforcement, I think it's interesting that they created that there's a law that kind of protects them from taking on any accountability or responsibility for police misconduct, but they're the first ones to talk about how you go against, when you go against a police officer, you're trying to diminish the service and work of those who have put the, no. Mm-mm. Look, I got to take a quick pause. When we come back, we want to hear your thoughts. 410-319-8888. I want to hear from new callers tonight, folks. One of my new callers, folks that I have not had an opportunity to talk to. I want to hear from you. And I certainly want to hear from your thoughts on our Facebook page as we're broadcasting live on Facebook at WEAA, as well as for Raji Muhammad. Stay riding with us. Whole lot is coming up in the second 30 of For the Culture here on WEAA. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. WEAA.org, excuse me. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we're talking about the fact that the city has been judged, or has been judged for the city to pay, to cover the payments to the GTTF victims. Yes. And in one case, $32,000, where the Baltimore judge says that the city will be responsible for the payment. I'm asking the question, is that fair? Considering the fact that, you know what, these police officers, they gone rogue. But according to this judge, Judge Jeannie Hung, she says that the officers in the GTTF were acting within the scope of their employment. Even though the city solicitor, Mr. Andre Davis, says that because they violated the civil rights and they've done all of these other things, they acted outside of the scope of their employment. Now, Maryland law and the city's labor agreement with the police union, the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge Number 3, require the city to indemnify officers, meaning that they were covered in legal fees and any judgment for actions within their employment scope. My question, again, is this fair, folks? Let's go back to hearing what you have to say. Let me just share with you a couple of thoughts from Facebook, then we'll jump back to the phone lines. Neil checked in and said, the law is not fair and does not purport to be. The law only purport to be just. While the written laws are in black and white, the understanding and application by legal reps, including judges, is subjective and based on specific arguments. So whether we believe that paying these judgments is fair or the duty of the city, it will all come down to interpretation of the law. Granted, I understand that. Neil, you're right. At the same time, there should be a new interpretation of the law, but then the law should be changed. I mean, if this is going to potentially, it could potentially set the city back, taking money away from other things that the city needs to focus on, then there should be some real conversation around it. Irene checked in and said, the city is insured to cover issues that they are liable for, which includes its employees who carry out the will of the city and state. Both the city and the state should pay. Mm. And then Travis said, the city of Baltimore is responsible. They are city employees on city payroll. The city of Baltimore leaders knew about the false imprisonment, the brutality, and the criminal harassment of these crooked cops. Mm-mm-mm. Let's go back to the line, see what you got to say. Let me hear from Cynthia out of East Baltimore. Cynthia, what's your take, ma'am?
I agree with everything everyone has said, including yourself. I would be interested in seeing the settlement split three ways between the union, the city, and the state.
The union, the city, and the state. Now, that might be a good compromise, Cynthia. That might be a good compromise.
Everyone knew, whether you say they were outside the scope or not, it's been stated that their employers, their bosses, took them to the side and promoted them and told them to go out there and do that.
Yeah.
So what is written is one thing, but what your bosses and your superiors tell you to do off to the side is something totally different. So they were working within the realm of their duty, and the city is responsible. But because the police is a state agency, I think others should bear some of that responsibility as well.
Now, here's the thing, though, Cynthia. Here's the big thing. Do you think that this might open Pandora's box for all of these new lawsuits? If the state's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, is talking about reviewing or even vacating 790 cases, can you imagine having 790 people trying to sue the city for wrongful imprisonment, for this and that and the other thing? This can get pretty high in terms of the cost for the city.
Yes, but we also pay a pretty tight price for people like Kevin Plank to build things. We pay a lot of social or commercial welfare, and for me, you can't put a price on someone's freedom and trauma that you imposed upon them by your employees.
Mm. Okay. All right, Cynthia. I appreciate that. Strong comments there. Let's go to Nolan out of Rosedale. Nolan, what's your take? Thank you for your patience.
And I'd like to say hello.
Yeah, hey, brother. How you feeling?
Angry. Very angry.
Angry. Okay. Tell us why you're angry, Nolan.
Man, because when the police are representatives of the city.
Right.
And yes, the city should have to pay something. But when like you said earlier, everything that you've already said is the things that was just flowing through my mind. And the FOP, they're the first ones to run up there and jump out there and take the side of the police. And, you know, and it's just aggravating that the one that when it comes down to it, they don't have to come out of pocket for anything. Man, I mean, I am tired of paying taxes, the highest taxes in the state, and getting some of the poorest service, and especially when it comes down to law enforcement. Where's the vicarious liability when the police are doing wrong?
Mm.
Somebody has to be held accountable. Every person at down at City Hall should be held accountable to some level. Because this is getting ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And at $32,000.
Hey, now that's for one case.
And yes, exactly.
Now imagine, like, remember, I said that the other case from 2017, where a man was awarded $15
million. It's ridiculous, partner. It is really ridiculous, and I just cannot take it. You know, and I am just angry with this. I don't even know how to vent it properly right now.
You know what? And I think that's why it's important that we have this conversation. One, so we can be informed that this is, and Nolan, I appreciate you, brother, for checking in. This is actually supported by law, folks. This is why Judge Jeannie Hung made the decision to put the burden on the city to make this payout, because Maryland law and the agreement with the FOP is allows this to happen. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let me hear from Donna in Baltimore. Donna, what's your take?
Absolutely. Faraji, this is just one more. First of all, thank you that we have a platform, because if you didn't have this show, you know, they wouldn't be hearing any of this. And believe me, they're listening. It is not fair. We get poor. I agree with Mr. Roland, I think his name was. We get poor service.
Yeah.
So we have to pay these officers to protect and serve. And they don't protect us, and they don't serve us. They gave us a disservice. They planted evidence on people. They all was the good old boys club, knowing that they were doing all this stuff, and they do need to be held accountable. But really, is it going to come out of our money? So we already, you know, we got the big holes in the road. We got the snow that doesn't get cleaned up. We have the crappiest schools with not enough materials and heat and air condition. Where is this money coming from? It's like a double whammy. Like, do they think we're that stupid that they don't realize it's like, again, we're paying taxes. Now we got to pay for this as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the crazy part, Donna. There was a story that was done by WBAL back in August of 2017. And yes, it was mentioned in that particular story. Brandon Scott, Councilman Scott, was quoting. He said that what we can do is apply the pressure to make sure we are policing better and we have a better operating police department. However, it was also mentioned within that same story, the city council has no authority over police department policy, but can only hold its leadership accountable. The city. So here's and this is the conundrum that we find ourselves in, folks. We have an agency where it is really operated by the state, but funded by the city.
And we're paying for it once again.
We're paying for it once again. So really, like, our state representatives all as well need to be saying this doesn't make sense, because it puts the police department in this kind of, like I said it before, a pseudo city agency, because it's getting money from the city. But then when the city council decides to make decisions about its policies and its operations, it really, the city council can't even really speak out about it. It has to come from the state to do that. So yeah. It can become very confusing, for one. And two, it can result in less accountability, because everybody going to be like, well, it's the city's fault. No, it's the state's fault. No, it's the city's fault.
And here's the thing. That's what they want. They want all this turmoil. They don't think we're smart enough to see what they're doing. It's like a big smokescreen. Let's have all this turmoil, then we're going to fight over this. And how long are these people going to have to wait to get their money? I mean, oh, my God, they already missed out on their life. And the lady said their freedom. You know, you don't get your freedom back. You don't get those years back.
Yeah.
Falsely accused. I mean, that falsely accused, that hurts so bad when someone doesn't believe you when you're telling the truth.
And you got to do 20 years?
That's a scar.
And you got to do 20 years in prison. And again, you coming back out, you lost 20 years of your life. But then there's a $15 million potential payout for that time that you missed. Don, I got to let you go, but
yes,
I appreciate
you.
As always. Thank you. Dwayne, talk to me. What's your take?
There's a $15 million potential.
Hey, Dwayne, ride with me. Come on, brother. What's your take?
Thank you.
All right, Dwayne, we're going to have to get back to you. Let me hear from who we got here. Panama Jack from Hanover. Panama Jack, what's your take?
Hey, D,
Good evening, Mr. Muhammad.
Good evening.
You've got a great show going on.
Thank you.
Hey, I don't like to complain without offering a solution.
Right.
Okay, and the thing about the cops, the city been upholding the cops forever and a day.
Yeah.
Okay, they created this monster, so they're going to have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people complain about the services that cops give. Well, you know, when them cops come to work, where they come from? Out of the city. So they come to work with the mentality that it's us against them. So if you want to change that, you hire cops from the city. They have a vested interest in seeing their city clean and protected. Okay?
Yeah.
Now that the city has been sued because of the cops, but I never heard anybody complain having to pay the money to these other victims.
No, no, people have been complaining about it. No, no, really, it's real talk. We have, and my team here, led by Alex, my producer, I mean, we literally have many, there are many documents to show that the city has always been trying to fight this for at least for over the past 5 years, been trying to deal with this. City Council President Brandon Scott has gone on record many times. He went as far, City Council President Jack Young, when he was the City Council President, he went as far to say that the FOP should be party to this settlement and that some of the money should come out of their funds. He said, I'm just tired of all these funds coming out of the taxpayers of Baltimore City. He said this back in 2018, May of 2018. So there has been many conversations about it. And a lot of people, I mean, look, the mayor's been talking about it. I mean, City Council President, interim mayor. The new City Council President, Brandon Scott, has talked about it. My thing is, how come no state legislators have talked about it?
Well, then you need to, the city need to take it up with them. My other question or my other solution.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, when people try to, you know, the city said they're broke and they don't have enough money, the first thing the city does is attack the public employees, their benefits, you know, their pay that they can't afford to pay, but the employee has to put more towards it.
Right.
But the cops and the firemen ain't never been touched.
What you mean the cops and the firemen never been touched?
No, they never touched their pay. They never ask to contribute more than what they contribute in.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They always do the public employees.
Yeah.
Now, if the city wants to get the FOP under control, they need to deactivate their union and create a new union with different laws. Bring them under the same law.
That might
be the public employees come under because they're public employees.
That might be the move. Jack, I appreciate you, brother, for checking in. Ernest, West Baltimore, what's your take?
I don't think it's fair because make the taxpayers pay.
Yeah.
Because let's take a scenario. If the taxpayer, if they sue, and we don't know how far this wormhole is going to go.
Yeah.
And if it hurts, it takes all the money. Then what happens to the people that retired from the city, the school teachers? What happened to the workers that worked in the city doing, you know, behind these trucks and things? And
you talking about like the public works
employees? Yeah, public works and all that.
Yeah.
If they go bankrupt, what's going to happen to these individuals' pensions?
Well, you know what, and Ernest, let me ask you this question. You bringing up some valid questions. Let me ask you this one, though. Is the police department the only agency where the city would have pay out? If somebody from the Department of Public Works or some other city department were to do some things that were illegal or in violation of the rules, would the city still have to pay that out?
I don't know. You would have to check with the city solicitor. I don't want to give any wrong information, but you have to think real. This is why the city solicitor is trying to fight back so that the city won't go bankrupt. I mean, we don't know how deep this is going to go. And it's a lot of innocent people that worked on their jobs, is getting a retirement check. And what happens if the city say, look, we're bankrupt. We can't pay you for your retirement from teaching young black kids for 25 years.
Yeah, that is.
This is the other thing. We get on the city, but we sleep on Baltimore County. Now, that incident where that man was shot in Baltimore County, on Owens Mills, Google that WBAL video. You will see with the time when that man was shot, he did not have a knife in his hand.
Okay, you talking about this incident with a man stabbed five people out in Hunt Valley, actually.
Yeah, allegedly stabbed.
Allegedly stabbed. I got to let you go on that note, Ernest. Ernest, I got to let you go because I want to make sure that we stay right in the realm of the conversation. But you're bringing up a good point, and that's one of the big things. I think this could potentially open up Pandora's box, folks. If the city is keep paying it out, and I'm trying, all you got to do is Google it. Police pay out Baltimore City. You will see the number of articles and discussions around, I mean, big settlements, not just 32,000, 1 million, 9 million, 6.4 million, and all of that. There's actually a law where in Maryland, the cap for settlements need to be $400,000. You can't go more than $400,000. But apparently, in some of these cases, you can. And of course, the city solicitor, Mr. Davis, is trying to fight that. Let's go to Action, Northeast Baltimore. Action, what's your take?
Taraji, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, Action? Good to hear from you. What's your view of this, bro?
First thing I would say, my mother used to say, you made the mess, you clean it up. I say that to say this. I got a solution that would shut this police corruption down in 24 hours. One, if you make it mandatory for each police officer to have insurance, first and foremost, if they get sued, it's coming out of their insurance.
What type of insurance?
Just like a doctor, a lawyer, a construction company all has license.
Yeah.
And a license is for what? To be bonded.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you do that for each one of these police officers, I guarantee you it would shut it down because you know why? It's coming out of pocket.
So what about their pension? Where would that? Because some people have even suggested that if you are a police officer, like we see Sergeant Newberg, 24-year veteran, he's the highest paid city employee at $260,000. Police officer, $260,000. He makes more than the mayor. He makes more than the mayor and the state's attorney at that rate.
But he's also been busting heads. Exactly. And guess what? A portion of your pension is going to be taken out of that if you're being sued by the city.
Okay.
So a percentage of that, your pension, will be taken out along with you being mandated to have insurance on top of that. Because why should we have to pay double as taxpayers? We're paying your salary. Then when you're being sued,
we got to pay your legal fees.
Exactly.
Actually, we're probably paying you three times. We're paying your salary. I appreciate you. We're paying your salary. Then you go to court. We got to pay your legal fees. Then after the decision is made, if you are in the wrong, we got to pay the settlement. Y'all do the math on that, man. Y'all do the math. Now, here's the thing. This is what the city of Baltimore is dealing with. Because a lot of times you might say, well, where all the money going? It might be going to some victim of police brutality. It might be trying to stop some legal fees from happening. It could be, I don't know, folks. Let me just tell you this. The city gets the city police department has a $500 million plus budget. Again, we got to go back to that idea of creating a special fund. Then you got this idea of the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, paying for it. Then we got another idea on the table saying that the state needs to chip in and pay for this, right? Because these are three, I think, valid ideas that we have on the table. Three valid ideas. Then my idea is change the law. How about that? How about we change the conversation? Change the law. Let's take it and let's say, okay, if there is a judgment or a settlement that has to come out of a police misconduct, that you just don't throw that on the city, man. The city doesn't need to be saddled with more debt. More debt. And as you said already, folks, we're paying for bad service. Let's go back to the phone line, see what you got to say. 410-319-8888. Beverly, talk to me. What's your take, ma'am?
Yes, my take is this. I believe that at this point in time, we need fresh eyes on the situation, just like you just said. We've been operating under this operation for quite a long time. And it's time now for taxpayers, voters, all of us to make certain that we're speaking to the powers that be, that we can no longer tolerate this. We have to at some point put the brakes on it and say, look, let's get some fresh eyes on this situation. Let's change the way we're doing business. Otherwise, we're going to always be going around this circle.
You're right.
Again and again.
You're right. You're right. I think also, Beverly, to you saying some fresh eyes, let's empower the city council to, and I'm not talking about the personalities, I'm talking about the entity of the city council to be able to have some say into the operation of the Baltimore City Police Department. I think this is a very, very strong discussion point that we should have with candidates. We go to the polls in April, folks.
That's right. There you go.
We go to the polls in April. And nobody, if we're not bringing this particular thing up, like, I don't care about your name. I don't care about, you know, what people said before. Like, we have to get to the root problem. And if we look at some of these laws, and Beverly, you're right on point with this, sis. If we look at some of these laws and realize that some of these laws have justified this certain level of incompetence, certain lack of accountability. Some of these laws have allowed these things to happen for so long because, one, we either don't know that these laws exist, or two, we ignore these laws totally because of our interpretation, as Neil mentioned on my Facebook page. So I think that's the big problem. Look, I got to take a quick pause. When we come back, who we got? Wayne, Thomas, Roosevelt, and Tyrone. I want to hear your thoughts on this. We're talking about how a Baltimore judge has ruled that Baltimore must cover payments from to a victim of the Gun Trace Task Force. Even though the city is going to appeal this judgment, I'm just simply asking, is this fair? Should the city have to pay for victims of police brutality? The city law, taxpayers, you and I, should we have to pay for police brutality? We've been having payouts for years, folks, for years. And it's costing us on a whole lot of levels. Look, join me in a conversation, 410-319-8888. Also, post your thoughts on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad, as well as WEAA. And of course, stay tuned. We're going to have more of this discussion when we come back. It's For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. Now let's check in with NPR with your latest in news, traffic, and more. We'll be right back.